All right, well, let's get started. Thank you all for coming. And tonight we're continuing on our series of stress relief, avoiding burnout, and finding balance. Last week we looked at the causes, signs, and effects of stress overload. And so tonight we want to consider strategies for stress management. We want to try to find balance in our lives, because a lot of times when we're overstressed, it's a sign that we are out of balance. And so when the signs of stress overload and burnout become evident, that we looked at last week, pushing through is only going to lead to further damage. That's what our tendency is. Oh, just if I get through this, then we'll be better. But that's not usually a good thing. Hello. And so when we push through, it does cause damage to our bodies often. We looked at that last week. To our spirits as well, emotionally, mentally. We just get wore out. And then as well with our relationships with others, we have trouble as well. And so we don't want to push through. That's not the option that we want to take, even though that's usually the one we insist upon. So it's necessary instead to pause, to reevaluate, and develop a different approach to the stresses we face. And that's so often what we need, what our bodies need, what our minds need, is a chance to just pause for a minute, to just catch our breath, just look at things differently. And to sometimes, especially when we're stressed, especially when we're tired, we're not thinking clearly, and we need to have our thinking challenged often. And the thing is, when we're overwhelmed by stress, it can seem like we are a hopeless, helpless victim of our circumstances, that everything is pushing in on us, and it's always other people that are dumping stuff onto us and adding to our burden and overwhelming it, and it just seems like there's no way out, there's no hope, there's no solution. But yet with a fresh perspective, we can find that it isn't hopeless, that there are ways that we can respond better to external sources of stress, that things are going to happen, but we can respond differently than what we do. And that comes as well as we reduce or eliminate our internal sources of stress, because there are external sources, but there are also internal sources that affect things. And so there's different questions when we do have a chance to pause and start to think things through that we need to ask ourselves. So first of all, what am I doing or not doing that is contributing to my stress levels? And if we're trying to deal with stress and overcome it, manage it properly, we have to take personal responsibility. If it's always everyone else's fault that we're overstressed, there's no way that it can be fixed, because everyone else has to change what they're doing to make my life less stressful. But instead, if we say, okay, what am I doing that's making, it's contributing to my stress levels? Am I adding things to my life? Am I doing things that are making it worse? And sometimes it could be, what am I not doing that's contributing to my stress level? Sometimes the fact that I'm not saying no when I should say no is contributing to things. And so we want to recognize our responsibility. And then we can ask the question, well, what sources of stress can I or should I reduce or eliminate from my life? That we should just kind of see, okay, is there something that is just causing so much stress that it just makes sense to get this out of my life. Sometimes it can be, there's multiple things, but you could say, well, these things are not essential. If I remove them, I can still manage. And it's kind of one less thing to deal with. But of course, we have to be careful with that, because you can think, oh, well, my job is stressful, so I'll quit my job. But it's like, okay, that might eliminate one source of stress, but it might add another, because then you're under financial stress, because how are you going to provide for yourself? And so it could be something, maybe you need to find a different job with a different boss, might be a good idea, but you have to be careful with that. Sometimes we think, oh, well, there's this person that's the source of my stress, I need to eliminate them, but that's not acceptable. You usually can't do that, and it's usually frowned upon. So you kind of have to think things through. But there are things that we can sometimes find. This doesn't need to be in my life. Let me get it out of my life so I don't have all this stress. And the next few we're going to be looking at specifically tonight is, how can I find ways to allow my system to recover so as to avoid stress overload and burnout in the future? That's what our bodies, our systems need, is a recovery time. And so we need to try to find ways to allow for that. Question as well that we'll be looking at, how can I prepare myself to better handle the necessary stresses of life? Is there things that I can do, that we know stress is part of life, and how can I prepare for facing that stress? As well, what changes in my thinking could help reduce my stress level? Sometimes when we think of internal stressors, of ways that we look at things or our own personality, that can sometimes contribute to our stress. And then finally, we're going to look at this more next week, but what help might be available to me to handle stress better? Do I have to do this all alone, or is there resources or individuals that I can seek that can give me help when I need it? All right, so you got all those down? Wait just a little bit. And that's the thing, is a lot of times we get in the midst of something and we're not really, because we're tired, because we're overstressed, we're not really thinking things through a lot of times. Our judgment is clouded. And so asking ourselves questions like these help us to start processing things better. All right, ready? Alright, so one of the things though is we have to recognize our limitations. And that's the thing, when we reach the point of stress overload and burnout, then that's when we're confronted with the truth that we are not invincible, that we do have limitations. And those limitations are physical, mental, emotional, and financial. That physically there's only so much strength that you have, there's only so much stamina that you have. There's only so much that your body can go without sleep. That there's different things like that, that your body has limitations. Mentally, that different things can be very taxing, and there comes a point where you kind of mentally you've had enough. And it's kind of something like, the physical ones are usually more easier to recognize than some of the mental and emotional ones, because you don't see them. Like emotionally as well, we have limitations of things that we can handle, that we go through different things of disappointment and sadness and other things and grief. And those things can all, we come to a point where we can't handle a certain, like we can only handle so much. And then, of course, financially, we have limitations, and a lot of times we don't want to recognize that. We'd like to be able to just spend and spend and spend, but we can't do that. That we only make so much, and we have to learn to live within our means. And the thing is, too, is as we age, our limitations change. And we need to be aware of and accept those changes. When you're young, you don't have a lot of strength as a child, but you have almost unlimited energy. But yet mentally and emotionally, there's only so much that a child can really handle and should not be subjected to things that push them beyond what is reasonable for them to handle. But then as you become an adult, you get to a point of really your fullest strength physically, and you're still developing mentally, emotionally, and through life financially, that you might have variations of where you have a time of being strong financially, a time where things are a bit tighter. But then as we get older, we find out that a lot of times physically we can't do as much as we used to be able to do. I know with myself doing shingles, I can certainly tell that I'm not 20 years old anymore. I just can't have a full day like I used to be able to do shingling. But it's the thing is, mentally and emotionally, as we age, then sometimes we're more able to handle things, that we can become sharper and more resilient emotionally as well. And so we want to realize that. And sometimes, especially as men, we get older, and then we just don't. We think that we can do what we used to be able to do, and we have to find out that's not always possible anymore. But it's kind of the thing. We should not live in such a way that we never test our limits, because if we never push ourselves, if we never challenge ourselves, then we're always going to be weak. And it's challenging our limitations. That's what helps us to get stronger. And it also is what helps us to maintain our strength. That if a person exercises and builds muscle and like sees, well, how many push-ups I can do, I can only do 10 a day, well, I'm going to try to do 15 tomorrow, and you keep doing that, eventually your body gets strong enough that you could do 50 push-ups. And so we think of that. There's different things mentally that we can kind of really challenge our minds with, and there's things emotionally that we're going to have to deal with in life that we want to become able to handle. And it's as well as we get older, if we continue to kind of push those limits and do as much as we can, then we can end up having a life where we're physically and mentally we're still fairly sharp. I know, like some individuals, one example would be Harvey Balderson, who's in his 90s and he keeps himself very active with gardening and other things, and he reads a lot, and so physically and mentally he's in his 90s, but yet he's still functioning fairly well for that age. And so we recognize that you want to be pushing your limits, but it is something that should occur gradually, that you don't go from trying to lift, like, say, 220-pound weights to 200-pound weights all at once. You're gonna damage something. And that's the thing mentally, that if you push yourself too far and you wear yourself out, that damage can occur. So we have to be wise with that. And so we need to learn from our mistakes, that we say, okay, I pushed myself too far, and that's something physically when it happens, where we strain a muscle or we hurt our back or something, and it takes time to heal. We kind of say, okay, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to try to lift so much or list in the wrong way. You try to learn from that and you hope you can heal, and that goes with things that we deal with mentally, emotionally, that if we haven't dealt with it right, we need to learn to do it better. And we need to be honest with ourselves as to our limitations, that we do have things that are just too much for us. And if we don't recognize that we do have limitations, then we're going to get back to the place of stress overload and burnout. And it's kind of what Einstein used to say. It was like, he defined insanity as being doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And so we have to recognize that. If it didn't work the one time, it isn't suddenly going to work this time. We have to realize that. So then we want to understand the principle of replenishing our reserves, because the way our body works, the fight-or-flight response that comes when we're in a stressful situation, it's designed to get us through that crisis situation, out of danger to safety. But it's not designed to just stay in that stressful situation and be subjected to chronic stress with no chance to recover. Because once it gets it through, it's designed to then bring us back to normal, then your body can kind of recuperate. Because if it's always under there, then at a certain point, it can't give you any more boost anymore because it's wore out. And so if we never give our systems any time for recovery, our reserves will be depleted and our systems will break down. And so we need to provide ourselves with opportunities for rest, relaxation, and recovery. And so we have different ways in which we can do that. So these are some positive strategies for enabling system recovery. And one of the big things for dealing with stress a lot of times is getting enough sleep. That if you have it, you give your body a chance to rest, then you're better able to handle a lot of different things. And of course, going with too little sleep is not good, but sleeping too long is not good either. And so you want to get what's about right. And usually they say about 8 hours is generally what we need. Eating healthy is part of it too. And this can actually be something we have to be careful with, because we can be so focused on healthy eating that it can be a source of stress. But it's kind of the idea that we understand is, like, if we're living, like if we're basically making it through on kind of caffeine and junk food, that's not sustainable. It's not healthy. It gives us a boost, but then we also have that crash afterwards. And so it's making sure your tank is full. You don't want to overeat, because then you'll be lethargic and you won't have the ability to handle things as well either. But you want to eat well. And there's different things, and of course you can study this out yourself, but there's different foods that can help boost your immune system, different foods that can greater strength to your brain, things with kind of omega-3 fatty acids and other things in them. There's different things like that are helpful, that are beneficial, that you say, this is something that I should be putting into me that will give me strength for the day ahead. Exercising, trying to stay active, that they've actually found that just taking a walk every day, that's just as effective as a lot of the over-the-counter stress medication that you can get for relieving stress. That there's just different things, endorphins that are released, that actually help you feel better and help you to calm down. And so learning to just have some activity like that can be helpful in allowing your system that chance to recover. Scheduling vacations. That sometimes we get busy, and I know I'm guilty of this often, is that you're wanting to get everything done and you don't actually think, I need to take time off. I need to plan for time away from what's going on. And so trying to do that, and it doesn't have to be a big vacation. It can be just something where you can just go away for a few days and relax. That it can be beneficial. Finding a hobby can sometimes be a way. Something that you can do where it's a healthy way of kind of getting away from whatever stresses you're dealing with and just do something that's productive. And it could be gardening, it could be painting, it could be photography, or many other different things. That's something that you enjoy, that you, it's just a way to get away, that if you make time for that, then it's a way kind of to help recuperate. And then as well, spending time with encouraging people. A lot of times stress comes as we're dealing with difficult people that are frustrating. And so you kind of think, okay, if I'm going to have to deal with people like that, then I need to make time for people that are going to kind of lift me up instead of tearing me down. So you want to find people like that and spend time with them so that they can give you that boost. Any other thoughts of ideas of ways of kind of recuperating, recovering, getting rest? Listening to music, yeah. 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 Yeah, I know having times of quiet, and music is certainly something that can put a person in a better mood. Any other thoughts?
I was helping other people that are something.
Yeah, no, that can be beneficial as well, where, yeah, helping others, doing something where you know you're making a difference and people appreciate it, it's, yeah, well, that can be something as well. No, good ideas. So, now I want to look at the thought of getting ahead of stress. Because a lot of times what happens is we end up falling behind stress. That sometimes we, for whatever reason, we assume everything's going to go well and we're not going to have to deal with anything difficult. And then when these difficult things happen, then we panic, we don't know what to do, and our circumstances start to overwhelm us, our limitations are exceeded, our reserves are depleted, and we're trying to play catch-up. It's too much for us, and we just don't know how to overcome it. But the thing is sometimes we look at it that it's because we kind of started out the wrong way. We were kind of trying to act like nothing's going to happen, and I don't need to prepare for anything. Well, we recognize stress is part of life. You're not going to have a life that doesn't have stress. If you did, it would be very boring. And so we do need to expect and anticipate various stresses and prepare ourselves to face them. And the thing is, the more prepared we are, the less our stress response system is activated, and the more calmly we can respond to the challenges that we face. And so this would be an example. Say if in school, high school, that you have a test coming up, and you know when it is, and you know what you need to study, that if you wait to the night before the test and you spend the whole night cramming for the test coming up, and you're tired and can hardly think, and you get there and you're nervous already, and you start the test and there's questions you don't know, and it can just be such a stressful situation. But instead, if you were to take plenty of time ahead of time to study for the test so that you feel confident you know the material, and then you get a really good night's sleep the night before, then you come into the test and you feel more confident. There might be some questions you don't know, but you look, well, there's a lot that I do know, so I'll do that first and then I'll deal with this one later. If you're prepared, it reduces your stress so much more. And so we want to think of it in that way. There's a lot of different tests that we're going to face in life that we know is going to come, and we actually see that in the Bible. It speaks that our different tests and trials, that they're common, that they're things that they happen to everyone, and we should expect them too. That if we're ready to face them, then it makes it so much easier and it helps reduce our stress. And so there's different ways in which we can prepare ourselves for facing stress. And so, again, another one would be getting enough sleep. If we're rested and we can think clearly, then right away we're better prepared for dealing with different stresses. If we're tired, we're cranky, we're irritable, then things are going to bother us more. Getting organized. And this we can think of when we talked about the micro stressors, the kind of the daily hassles of life that bring stress. We're wanting to get out the door and where are my shoes? Where is my keys? Where are all these things? And we're rushing her out and we're stressed out before we even step out of the door because of all these things. And like, it's something that I've had to learn. It's like, if you have a place for everything, you always put it back in the same place. It's always going to be there when you need it the next time. And too often we think, well, I'm in too much of a rush to do that. But if we remember to do that, then that saves us a lot of stress. And as well, leaving early for different things. That traffic can always be something that's stressful. Road conditions can be stressful. If we always try to give ourselves extra time, then it's not as much of a problem. And then avoiding overscheduling. And this is something that I sometimes struggle with. Because it's kind of the thing, sometimes we figure, well, we need to have our schedule chock full of stuff because we want to accomplish all these different things. And we think, oh, I've got a bit of time here, I'll plunk something into this part of my schedule and I'll try to fill it up. But the thing is what happens if one of those things in the schedule goes longer for some reason? Then what happens is you're ending up late for the next thing on your schedule. And what if that goes a few minutes later? And it can be, it might only be a few minutes each time, but by the end of the day, you could be like a half hour behind schedule and having to call people apologizing for being late or missing out on things that are important or rushing and getting a ticket because of that, different things like that. And what we want to instead try to have is what we would call margin. And we think of in a book that when you have margin, it means that there's space around the edges, right? And there's some Bibles that are wide margin Bibles that have more space that you can fit other things in. And it's kind of the thought that if we give ourselves space in between the things of our schedule, then if things go late, it doesn't throw off the rest of our schedule. And if things go well, then we have some extra time that we could say, oh, I could do something else. Or maybe I could go visit someone. Or like there's things that we can do because you've provided that space. It enables you to get things done that are on your schedule without getting stressed out. And so learning to actually provide margin in our lives is a valuable thing to learn. And as well, the idea of anticipating challenges and planning responses to those challenges. There's going to be things that happen, and so you think, well, how do I deal with this that's going to come up? And I just wanted to read you something. This is from a book by Chris Hadfield. It's An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth. And he's talking in this chapter about how, as they prepare them for their time in space, they run them through all these different simulations. And basically every simulation is, well, what are you going to do when this goes wrong? And you have to practice and find out what to do in this situation. And so he talks about the training here, and I just wanted to read that. It says, our training pushes us to develop a new set of instincts. Instead of reacting to danger with a fight-or-flight adrenaline rush, we're trained to respond unemotionally by immediately prioritizing threats and methodically seeking to defuse them. We go from wanting to bolt for the exit to wanting to engage and understand what's going wrong, then fix it. And he speaks later on of this idea of working the problem, where you get to this point where you don't, because what happens if we're not ready, our stress response is activated, and our heart is racing and different things, and we're already at that point of being stressed out. Whereas if you're already thought of different things that can happen, you know a plan, then something does happen, then you think, okay, well, I can do this, or this was something that I prepared for, and it's not something to stress out about. I remember with one test that I had with my physics final, in grade 12, that we went through to study. I went through different questions in my textbook to try to prepare for it. And I remember there was this one question that was, it had this idea, you had this block of wood that was suspended from this string, and someone shot a gun into this block of wood. The bullet was so much weight. The block was so much weight, and it was traveling so much of a speed, and the block swung up at a certain amount, and so based on that, how are you supposed to figure out, they didn't give you the speed, it was how you're supposed to figure out what the velocity was of the bullet. And so I looked at that, and I was like, I have no idea how to do this, but there's no way this is going to be on the test. So I just kind of ignored it. So then I came there to my physics exam and got through it, and then you have the final question that's like the one that's like the big marks for. And here it was pretty well the exact same question that I didn't know how to do and I didn't try to do it. And I realized that if I had worked on that, if I'd figured out how to way to do it, then when I got to that, I'd be, oh yeah, I know how to do this, and I could have done it in 10 minutes. But instead it was like, it took me half an hour, and it was like I got everything else done on the test and then used up the rest of my time to figure it out. And I did figure out how to do it, but it was just, yeah, I could have avoided that stress if I had taken that test, like challenged myself before. And so we want to learn to do that and realize there's things that are going to come up. How do I prepare for them? And we can think of that emotionally of preparing, physically preparing for things, even financially preparing for different things. That we know that if we have a vehicle that occasionally it's going to break down, and so you want to budget for extra expenses if that happens. You can't always prepare, but you can try. And you think one example as well would be for anyone working in the oil field, that breakup always comes at the same time every year. And so if you know it's coming, you think, okay, I got to save up some money so that then that will cover me through breakup. And so if a person does that, then you can relax during that time, and whenever you get called back, you're good, right? But if you're always pushing and spending, then you get to breakup, it's like, how am I going to provide for my family and pay all my bills when I don't have any work? Well, if you plan ahead, then you can find what you need in those times where things are a bit lean. So any other thoughts of ways that we can prepare ourselves for facing stress? Yeah. No, we're going to get to that. All right. So then there's times where we have to just try to kind of have a personal reevaluation. Because while there are external stressors that can contribute to stress overload and burnout, things going on around us that we really don't have a lot of control over, we do recognize that there are also internal stressors that contribute to stress overload and burnout. That ways that we think, assumptions that we make, things that bother us, that those can affect it. And the latter are often easier to overlook. We think what's all these other things around me, but sometimes it's how I'm reacting to all those things around me. That's the problem. And so it's the internal stressors we want to identify and do our best to eliminate. And so as we take some time to step back and reevaluate, we can often find that we have some wrong thinking which contributes to our problem with stress. That we've thought or assumed different things that are not accurate. And that's the thing, we often have to challenge our assumptions. They may not always be correct. They may not be accurate. And especially when we're tired and we're under stress and we're not thinking clearly, we can just push ourselves and think, well, this will solve my problem. But then when we have time to think, we realize, no, this isn't solving anything. This is actually making it worse. And so we have to ask ourselves some different questions. So we want to think, am I overreacting to certain external stressors? Somebody is irritating and just gets on my nerves, and I just get really upset with that person. Is that a proper reaction? Is that an overreaction? And so in situations where we'd say we're overreacting, why would we be overreacting? What would be going on within us that would cause us to overreact? Yeah, and we get upset with that person, and it might be because of all the other stuff that we've put on our plate that we're venting again on them, when really it's ourselves that have put us in that position. So yeah, that can happen when we overreact, and so we want to recognize that when that's happening, because sometimes something happens and we totally panic. But then we have to stop and think, well, wait a minute, this isn't as bad as I initially thought it would be, or this could have been a lot worse, or wait a minute, I can handle this, this isn't that serious. And so it's sort of almost telling your stress response system, just turn off, I'm okay, this is not a big deal. And we want to learn to be able to do that. And here's a question, well, do I struggle with saying no? And if so, why would I struggle with saying no? So what would be going on that would cause a person to struggle with saying no? Yeah, we want people to, we want to be there for people, kind of be the one they can count on. Any other thoughts why we wouldn't say no? Well, sometimes it can be like where we don't, it can be kind of like the not wanting to admit we have limitations. It's like we want to be this strong person. We want to prove everyone we can do it. That if we say no, that means that we're weak. And so we can't admit that. So we're going to kill ourselves to try to do what we should never have agreed to in the first place. Yeah, no, and that kind of brings us to the next one, kind of whose expectations am I trying to meet? That sometimes that's what we're doing. We're trying to impress others. We're trying to get them to think that we're something special. And sometimes it's expectations that others have imposed upon us. And sometimes they can be reasonable, but sometimes they can be unreasonable. That sometimes you could have a boss that is not considerate and loads you up too much. Sometimes even as parents, that we can have unreasonable expectations of our children. But sometimes it can be our own expectations that we're trying to live up to, that no one else is really pushing us to live up to this standard. It's something that we've set. Or sometimes it can even be, say in our past, that say we had a parent or someone in our life that was very demanding, and we're still in a way living under that person's demands. Like we think, well, I've got to live to this certain level to meet that person's standards. And then we can say, well, wait a minute, that person isn't even around anymore. That person maybe is long gone, has moved away, or has passed away. And why am I still trying to live up to that person's standards? Because it's not, they're not going to be there to see one way or the other. And so we have to evaluate that. Sometimes expectations that others have or we have of ourselves are not reasonable. And we need to find something that is more reasonable. Is a wrong self-image contributing to my stress levels? Am I thinking of myself too highly than I ought to? That I'm thinking that, oh, I can handle this. I'm tough. I'm strong. I can figure this problem out. Sometimes it can be a negative self-image where we just kind of, we're assuming failure, we're kind of expecting that we're going to struggle, and so we've kind of defeated ourselves before we even get started. Question as well, are my priorities in the right order? That there's things that I'm going after, and we just say, well, wait a minute, is this what's most important? Sometimes we we struggle with that. And there's many things that can claim our time, and we have to really kind of say, okay, what is really important in my life? What has to be there to make my life enjoyable? What doesn't need to be there to make my life enjoyable? And recognize, and that's especially when we're dealing with stresses and definitely with trying to reach certain expectations, we can sacrifice our relationships with others in order to gain certain things in life, certain status, certain levels of success. But if we lose those that are close to us, was it really worth it? And as well, the thought, is what I am pursuing worth risking my health to obtain? And that's what happens when we get overstressed and burnt out, that our health is threatened, our physical health, our mental and emotional health. And so we have to ask, is this actually worth pursuing? And the Bible speaks about the thought. The prophet Isaiah asks in Isaiah 55, why do we labor for that which does not satisfy us? Like, why do we spend our resources up on things that just aren't really going to give us anything that's really of value? And so we have to think of that sometimes we say, okay, I've pursued after this my whole life. Was it really worth it? It says another place in the scriptures, he that seeketh after silver shall not be satisfied with silver, that riches don't bring happiness. And that's, brings to the last one too. Does our standard of living equal quality of life? And for a lot of people, they would assume, yes, the higher your standard of living, the more money you have, the better car, the bigger house you have, the more stuff you have, the happier you will be. But does that actually happen? Are rich people stress-free? You would say no. A lot of times they have a whole lot more stresses than we do. And sometimes you find people that don't have a lot, that they're the happiest people around, because they don't have all these other things to worry about. And so standard of living does not necessarily equal quality of life. Sometimes you lose quality of life by focusing on increasing your standard of living. And we have the whole thought of trying to keep up with the Joneses, and especially in teenagers, there's different expenses that come with taxes and other things, and so it is a struggle, but there's always kind of, you want to have this certain level, you don't want to be looked at as being below someone else in status. And but the thing is, what difference does it really make? Or is it worth killing yourself and being overstressed in order to match someone else? Or is it worth saying, hey, why don't I just take a lower standard of living, get a smaller house, have a simpler life, and actually find that reduces my stress level, that increases my quality of life, that it can be much more worthwhile. And so we want to evaluate those things. But as well, with all these different things, and I hope that they can be helpful to you in this, but the thing is that even though we can do our best to try to manage stress, try to eliminate stress, stress doesn't always allow itself to be managed. That different things come that we don't ask for, that we don't expect, that we couldn't have planned for. And sometimes we get to a point, well, yes, I know that sleep would help me, but it's like I'm so worked up with everything that's going on, I'm not able to sleep like I would like to. And I'm just at a point where maybe I'm financially I'm stressed, I can't deal with that emotionally, there's just been things that are stressing me and can't go away. What do I do in those situations where it's not a simple fix? And I want to recognize there are resources and strategies that are available that can give us the strength we need to overcome stress and find the relief that we seek. And so we're going to be looking at those next week in our last session. So any thoughts as we conclude tonight? No?